This is 702 for the curious.
It is 25 minutes to go before we get to 9 o'clock. DJ Scooby making sure that I stick to time. Layla Patel is joining us up next, professor at the Center for Social Development in Africa at the University of Johannesburg. Of course, I should be referring to her as Prof. Prof, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Yes, good evening, Joshua.
Great one. Look, so we know that we have had the... A lot of people are, wondering why we're talking about the National Minimum Wage Bill and the laws connected there too. And obviously, what I found interesting was that I heard this a while back where there was a technical issue with the legislation. Parliament supposedly fixed it yesterday with an amendment bill. So in other words, now, from what I understand, the National Minimum Wage Act of 2018... should be done and dusted. It should be complete now. Is that so?
Yes, it seems so, and it's going to be implemented very soon. And I think our research with young people trying to find out what the impact of it would be for them is something that we're going to be monitoring over time as the minimum wage is implemented.
So let's start off by looking at what your research, you did explain in brief what it is that you wish to investigate, but what are the specifics that you're going to look into in your research, or is it still ongoing, has it been completed, or is it a process?
Yes, so the research was completed prior to the adoption of the minimum wage. It was part of research studies that the Department of Labor commissioned to explore the impact of
Hello?
The young people.
Prof, and your line is not too great. I'm going to put you back to the producers very quickly, okay? And then just try to fix that line, if you don't mind. That is, of course, Professor Layla Patel at the Center for Social Development in Africa at the University of Johannesburg.
This is 702 for the curious.
Welcome back. 19 minutes to go before we get to 9 o'clock. And I saw a couple of tweets that came through, Tabo pointing out that why is the telephone quality of the caller sound like they're talking underwater? Can some thing be done to fix it? Unfortunately, guys, we have noticed that with the power cuts, with the load shedding, that the one thing that has definitely deteriorated has been cell phone call quality. And, that is why also we had to put Dr. Layla Patel, or rather Professor Layla Patel, on hold, because we couldn't clearly hear. And I'm no technician. I don't know how these things necessarily work, but I guess some of these cell phone towers actually work off of the grid. And if they down, then unfortunately you are going to have a very poor signal. And then this is obviously, something that we can't necessarily do anything about, if you get my drift. But yeah, continuing that conversation with Professor Layla Patel, the last question that I asked you actually was, in terms of the research that you're conducting, are you still continuing with this research, or has it been completed, and what does it aim to find? What are you trying to determine with this particular research on the national minimum wage and its impact on young job seekers?
Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to find out what young people think about minimum wages.
Uh-huh.
And in our research, we spoke with young people in urban and rural areas, and we spoke with employed and unemployed youth, and we had conversations with them in focus groups across the country. And what we wanted to learn from them is what do they think how it would impact and what are their recommendations going forward. So what we learned is that, the young people who were in, firstly, all of them, both employed and unemployed youth, thought that they knew very little about what the minimum wage was.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of education, I think, that is needed on minimum wages in general. And, of course, among young people, because 55% 18 to 24-year-olds are unemployed. We also wanted to know whether employed youth thought that they would be impacted by the minimum wage. And they obviously supported the idea of a minimum wage. Those who were unemployed thought that it would benefit them too, in that they would obviously many might be motivated to go out and look for work.
Hmm.
And they, you know, they also described just how dire their situation was, how despondent they were about not having employment opportunities. We learned also, we concluded from our research, really, that a national minimum wage could support or provide opportunities for those who are in employment. But we think that the problems of the vast majority of unemployed young people go beyond the question of wages, that a lot more needs to be in place to address their needs. And what
because
those young people... Yeah, sorry.
I'm so sorry, because if I'm not mistaken, I mean, based on what you're telling me there, that there's some optimism coming through from these young people in terms of the implementation of a minimum wage, but that optimism surely and definitely does not translate to jobs.
No, so for the unemployed youth, the chances that a minimum wage is going to impact positively on their situation is not a reality, because
okay.
it needs... So complex. You know, there are no jobs, firstly, and as we see, our economy is not growing. Youth jobs are limited, and many young people don't have the skills to access the labor market. Those who do find the cost of work seeking to be extremely high also don't have the networks to help them access jobs, and they lack the kind of hard skills, you know, the technical skills to, say, computer skills to find work. So, and maybe entrepreneurial skills. And then they also need a range of soft skills, they thought, that would benefit their job search ability, and also if they are employment, such as social skills that would benefit them in the workplace. So the situation is complicated, and a lot more needs to be put in place to support unemployed youth, because a minimum wage, we think, is not really going to impact on their situation.
Okay, no, fair enough. I understand you a little better now.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of it, so this is obviously, so again, your research is looking at the perspective of the youth themselves. I mean, do we see any hard data coming through from industry? Because I remember that with the introduction of the minimum wage bill and the discussion, at least, around it, you know, you had a massive schism that developed between industry or business, right, on the one end, and then obviously the unions at the other end, because the unions were saying this is still a wage, this is still a slave wage that you're paying, and it's still exploitative. You obviously had President Cyril Ramaphosa, who, for all intents and purposes, whose brainchild this is, saying that, no, this year at least sets that minimum basement amount for people, and we can still work upwards from there. And then you had the unions, not the unions, but actually industry on the other hand, saying that, no, this is going to bankrupt us, basically. We don't have the money for this type of thing, which is very difficult, because you have all of these conflicting messages coming through. In terms of the value of the actual bill and what it would do. Do we have any hard data coming through from industry, from business, or from the unions even, supporting either of their arguments?
Well, I think as a researcher, we need to look at what is out there in the world of among researchers that could be helpful. And at this stage, we know very little of what its impact will be. We are introducing a minimum wage in a very difficult economic environment, so that does complicate it. But the international evidence suggests that that it doesn't have negative employment effects. But we know very little of its impact in developing countries. So there's a lot more that we have to learn about in the developing world. So what I would say is important at this stage is that when the minimum wage is implemented, then the National Minimum Wage Commission will, their mandate will be to monitor its impact and to generate the data, so that you'll be able to see before the wage is introduced and afterwards how is it progressing, so that adjustments can be made and corrective measures taken. In other countries, such as in the UK, when they introduced it, after a number of years, they introduced, for instance, a national youth minimum wage, for example. So there are different policies and strategies that can be implemented, but you're asking absolutely the right question, is there hard evidence? And at this stage, it has been modeled by various researchers, economists, such as Professor Haron Borat at the University of Cape Town, and somebody at Wits University, and they come up with different estimations of what its impact would be. So there's some evidence that it might have impact on jobs in certain sectors, like agriculture, for example. We've got hard evidence that it did have a negative impact there. And so these are sectors that were excluded from the implementation. So it is very important that it be monitored, and you know that we see how a minimum wage could reduce poverty and wage inequality in our country.
And that for me is something fascinating, because it also more importantly needs to be objective, because unfortunately I do find, and maybe this is my own personal bias, or maybe I am very wrong about this, but I just find it that it seems that evidence, or that people claim evidence that they have in this particular instance is very subjective. So it supports a particular point of view. So if you are a union saying that it's a slave wage, then of course the evidence that you're going to produce is going to show that it's a slave wage. Whereas if you know, your industry and it supposedly damages business, then it will of course damage business based on the evidence that you present. But I mean, just moving into moving ahead, I mean, apart from that, the key question that we should also be looking at then, in terms of this, is there going to be any form of incentivization for business when it comes to the application and the implementation of a minimum wage? Because obviously there must be some type of penalty where they fail. But is there, the opposite of that, where we see some type of benefit to business to move over to the national minimum wage, number one? And number two, maybe especially if those are people that are employing the people most heavily affected by unemployment, being the youth.
Mm. So there are many different, well, the one point I think is important is that we don't have a good inspectorate to inspect companies that are not meeting the minimum wage. So that whole system has to be beefed up, and I think the Minister of Labour has spoken to this, but that certainly has to work, because compliance is an important issue. Mm. And we don't have the capacity to have wonderful legislation, but if we can't enforce it, then we can't really achieve those objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something very important. But I think also for employees, for workers themselves and organizations, whether it be trade unions or other civil society organizations, to also assist with monitoring implementation and education will be important. The big question is that large businesses, the big corporates, seem to think that they can absorb a minimum wage. But it's the small businesses, and these are the employers of young people. Two-thirds of young people are employed in small and medium enterprises. And, you know, so that might impact on them. So how they're going to be accommodated is, of course, a big question. Currently, companies can apply for exemption, but it seems quite an onerous process at the moment. They've got to make formal applications. And if the system works quickly and they can respond timely, then small businesses would be able to apply for those exemptions. But these are things that must be monitored carefully. But I think of coming back to the point you made, that there's subjectivity about it, yes. But at the same time, that is the task of the National Minimum Wage Commission. It has to have very skilled people who can assess the impact. You know, the technical knowledge is very important.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it is. Look, I do think that unfortunately part of it, and maybe I don't know if your research would show this at all, but Is there a possibility that what has happened with the national minimum wage is that it has become a political hot potato, and it's, you know, rather than, and I mean, it's well intended, I presume, because you are able to ensure that people aren't, for example, exploited, right, through a you know, paying them next to nothing for the work that they do. That's the first point. And second to that, also, it also ensures that people are given a reasonably fair wage, because there's always an opportunity for minimum wage to be increased over time or over a period of time. But at the moment, it seems that it's not been really well thought through, considering the various divergent views around this thing called a minimum wage, because the unions are adamant it's a slave wage. Government is saying that it's a good starting point. And then business is saying, oh, no, we're going to hemorrhage money. We can't possibly afford to pay these people, you know, at this particular rate. And therefore, we'll have to let more people go and increase unemployment in the process. So is it a well thought through policy, or has it become one of those atypical South African, you know, hot political hot potatoes?
Look, I think it's a reality now, and the idea of setting a minimum standard below which nobody should fall is widely accepted.
Yeah.
The value of it, the belief that that is the right thing to do, is acceptable, I think, to people, to most people. It's really how do we make that happen in our context, and that is the complexity. And there are many who are for it and against it. I think it's a reality now, and going forward, monitoring of the implementation of it, it will be crucial. And I think that's my really critical message for us on Human Rights Day today.
No, indeed. And I think it's something that we have to keep in mind. But look, Prof, let's leave it there. I think it's very interesting. We'll keep an eye out on further developments in that space, and also see how this eventually develops. And who knows, maybe you are your research eventually gives us that answer that we still yet to get. And that is, objectively speaking, and sincerely objectively, is this overall a good thing or a bad thing for the state of employment as well as the economy? Because, of course, there's always going to be varying ideas around this idea. Is it not so?
And difficult to weigh. You have to weigh it up, and there are trade-offs. And that's what we need to understand. So you have one, we have a good intention, but are there consequences that we didn't intend, that wasn't intended by the policy? And those are the things that we need to understand so that we can find solutions going forward.
100%. Let's leave it there. Thank you so much, Prof. That was Professor Leila Patel.